from runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 431, Just Enough Administration with guest Mark Manassi, recorded Monday, June 29th, 2015. Run As Radio is produced each week by Plop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. I am back with my friend Mark Manassi, one of the guys behind Windows for forever and forever. But I don't think we're necessarily talking Windows per se today, my friend.
Well, you know, actually, many people would see me as more as a Windows Server guy than a desktop guy.
That's true.
But what we're going to talk about today is a security thing, but it's more than security. It solves a problem that has existed in Windows since time immemorial.
Which problem is that?
I'm glad you asked that question, Richard. So let's say that there's a lot of things in computers that need to be done that scut work. You know, they're done by someone, you know, things like it used to be changing passwords, but, you know, what if your title changes in your Active Directory and your company cares about that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not going to do that. We're not going to give it somebody with your pay grade or my pay grade. Basically, have you ever had to give a non-technical, part-time, low-paid employee, in other words, the most disinterested, the most untrustworthy, the most crazy person to let be anywhere near administration, just enough authority to do something like, I don't know, the SQL server has to be rebooted once a week or something like
right.
that. I don't know why, what the problem was with it, and Paul Randall will come and beat me to death for having me said that. That's just an example. To restart a virtual machine, do something in order to make a backup work. Kill a process.
Yep.
Or the example I like is, because this fits so nicely, is you have an Active Directory. An Active Directory has 110 characteristics, things like who's your manager, and there's no place for your salary, but there's things like, what's your title? Are you a manager? Are you an engineer? Are you a salesperson? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be cool if I could say, you know what? We care about this title stuff because it feeds the ERP or something like that. But we don't want our highly paid AD administrators doing this stuff. We want the temps to be able to do it. So I have to, but think about that. If I go into Active Directory and say, all right, I'm going to give you the ability to change Richard's title, that means I have to give you access to that big Active Directory users and computers thing. And there's other things you could do, and it's hard to give you a part of the tool. And that has always been the question. If you think about it, way back when Active Directory first came out, Windows 2000, there was a thing called the task pad. Does that ring a bell? Does that shake any brain cells loose?
Yes. Yeah, I remember.
The whole idea was that you could take Active Directory users and computers and take a lot of features out of it and hand a cut-down version down to a junior admin, and it never worked.
Right.
Well, our friend Jeffrey Snover, one of the smartest guys around,
mm-hmm.
One of my two favoritest people at Microsoft, my two favoritest Microsoft buys were Hiram Resinovich and Snover.
Right.
And Snover brought us PowerShell and WMIC and some other stuff like that. Well, he's taken PowerShell and he's created a tool that allows us to do extremely finely tuned toolkits. Whereby I could say, Richard, you have the power to go to my Active Directory and only change someone's title. That's it.
Nothing else.
If you've never tried to do this, man, this is nirvana. This is, you know, it's, of course, everyone listening knows that it's called the principle of least privilege. The notion is I want to give you just enough power to do what you could do and nothing else. And GIA, just enough administration, is the way to do it.
Interesting.
So it's pretty interesting stuff.
Well, and I think this is becoming more and more important too, because I'm finding in big organizations today, the super administrator is the attack vector. Like, we have to eliminate this idea of this human routinely operating an account that has all privileges.
You're deadly right on this, because in most organizations, let's tell the truth, if they have 20 people who even touch, I'm going to use Active Directory because it's an example everyone understands.
Sure.
But listeners, believe me, this applies to everything. Okay, so just, I'm doing AD stuff. This applies to SQL. This applies to Exchange. This applies to SharePoint, whatever. And how many people do we have that even touch the domain? Well, even if you're a person who flips the names of titles, you're probably a full-blown domain administrator.
Yep.
You probably got 20 domain admins.
Yeah.
And you're just hoping nothing goes wrong. And your point that those people are an attack vector are the logical places to go. And you have two or three super-duper admins that are probably good about changing their passwords a lot, and they don't put gunk on their computers, and they're very careful about their VPNs and stuff. But the other 17 are like, I think I use this thing sometimes, man. You know. And so when somebody sends them an email, some kind of phishing email or something, or here, download this zip file, or we're going to cancel your credit card, and bam, you know, people are in.
Yeah.
So what Jeff's trying to do, what Jeffrey's trying to do, is he's trying to make it possible to create very, very, very specialized tools. Now, PowerShell has had it. So here's the foundation. In order for this to work, the thing that you want to do has to work with PowerShell, because these are going to be little nuggets of administratability, but they're all PowerShell stuff. Don't run away, people. It's not that bad. PowerShell's easy, and if not, I can wrap a GUI around it for you.
Right.
So here's the idea. We start out by saying this has to be a command that can be then. An exercise. This has to be an operation that can be done in PowerShell. Great.
That is a lot of stuff that can be done in PowerShell these days.
Tremendous amount. More and more all the time. Mm-hmm. I forget the numbers exactly, but a 2008 R2 server box had about 200 commandlets on it. And mm-hmm. I think a 2012 had, 4,000 commandlets if you installed a bunch of modules. So the PowerShell coverage keeps getting better and better and better, which is great because Server 2012 came out with a GUI that is so horrible, that the Server Manager GUI is horrible. The only thing I can imagine is that they did it as a favor to us by giving us a GUI bad enough to want to go learn PowerShell. I'm a half glasses half full kind of guy.
There's an incentive. All of these days, these GUIs are simply wrappers over top of the PowerShell commands anyway. So it sounds like your most experienced guys build the PowerShell commands, and then you have more inexperienced folks to, okay, put a GUI on top of this, and you only have 3 days to build it.
Try putting a debugger on any of those tools, and it's not quite that. Yeah, there's PowerShell under the hood, but it's not PowerShell that they want anyone to see.
Right.
So I think there's probably some more iterations that we have to go through. So step one is, I want you to be someone who logs onto your computer with no administrative powers at all. In other words, I'm not actually giving you any administrative powers. That's step one. Step two is, PowerShell has had, ever since PowerShell 3, I think it is, the notion of constrained endpoints, which is a terrible name, because you hear it and you think, constrained, that sounds unhappy, and endpoints, that sounds unimportant. But really what it means is, I'm sitting on my Windows 7 computer or my Windows 8. I think I actually have to be on an 8.1 computer for this to work now, but it'll probably get backported. And the notion is, I'm on my Windows 8.1 computer, and I click a little icon. And the little icon starts up a remote session. So the notion is, I am now teleported to where I am connected to a SQL server or an Active Directory domain controller or something along those lines. It's a remote session.
Right.
That's easy enough to understand. We've done remote desktop.
Yep.
Here's where constrained endpoints come in, though. They let us do a number of things. First of all, if there are 4,000 commandlets, I can say, welcome to this server, welcome to this workstation, whatever. I'm not giving you 4,000. You get the 12.
Yeah. You'd never want 4,000.
Well, I would. No, but seriously, what's really cool about this is, okay, command line stuff is fun, but PowerShell is different, and the reason is PowerShell isn't just a collection of EXEs that people have written over the years.
Mm-hmm.
It's things that go through a unified, centralized, controlled parser.
Right.
Whenever you type something in PowerShell, it's like, hey, I'm not a CMD.exe. I'm not running that crap, you know? And seriously, the only other operating system I can think of that happened was VMS. And of course, Snowflake worked with that. That's probably where the idea came from. But the notion was, so now, if I'm going to say get-process, that's a command that's going to show me my list of processes. It's like task list.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like command.exe that goes out and looks for an exe file. It says, I'm a PowerShell thing, and I'm going to be parsing those things. And, oh, wait a minute. Oh, hang on. Normally, I'd let you do that. But the thing is, you can change something called the language, which, again, another phrase that I'm sure makes sense to Jeffrey because he's a smart guy. But so let's start from constrained endpoints. Constrained endpoints just means a remote session where I'm stripping you of some powers. The second thing is language is the thing that lets me say, okay, there's 4,000 commandlets. I'm only going to let you do these 12.
Right.
So that's our next step.
And do you have to specify the individual 12, or is this literally like this group of commandlets from this tool?
You could either say everything from X module,
right,
which is possible, but you probably don't want to do that because I don't want the minimum wage. I don't care. You know, I'm busy surfing the web for where to go to dinner tonight characters to have access to all of the AD commandlets.
Yeah, the drop DAG in Exchange. Like, people shouldn't have access to that. That's not good.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, this is serious whitelisting territory.
Yes.
But that's good.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about super, super, super constrained stuff. So what have we seen? Constrained endpoints. We constrain which commandlets you can use because of the language thing. And the language thing will take us a step further. There's another point, too, that isn't part of constrained endpoints, but Jeffrey built it into his JIA, just enough administration. The idea is you want just enough power to do the administration toolkit. It builds a local administrative account on the distant server. So there's a toolkit I'll tell you about. But the idea is that if I want to give you the ability to change just titles in Active Directory, the toolkit is going to build this endpoint on a domain controller or domain controllers. And it's going to say, when you see this Richard guy, who, by the way, is a regular user, he has no admin power at all.
Right.
You can give him admin power, and it dials up or dials down all the rights and privileges and that sort of thing.
Nice.
So think of it this way. Another way to think of it, I was talking to Jeffrey about this once as we were doing an interview about this for Pluralsight. And I said, so it's sort of like Clark Kent steps into this transporter booth, and he goes to this other place, and he's either Superman if he hits one button, or Aquaman, or Wonder Woman. Some people cross-dress, I cross-log on, you know? we can say, you're Superman, but you don't have the ability to fly.
Right.
You know? Or we've taken away your x-ray vision, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
The way Jeffrey said it, it was great. He says, no, or like you're Superman, but you can only punch Lex Luthor. You can't punch a baby. Talking to Snover, you know, it's so much fun. It's always a little like warming your hands on a nuclear reactor.
Yes. It's warm, but be careful.
Anyway, so our first step was only certain commandlets. Then we control the use of parameters. So the notion is that if I've got something like stop-process-name-count, well, in order to kill a process like calculator, if I give you full control or full access to stop-process, you can do it. But what if I said, no, I'm going to take away all of the parameters? Well, the stop-process won't do anything because it needs -name.
Right.
So the next level is, and this is the cool part, so they said, for each one of these little tool spaces that you're creating, it needs to know a few things. The names of the commandlets that are acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Within those guys, the parameters. Mm-hmm. And let me jump ahead and give you an example. Again, I'm sure many of our listeners have not played with the Active Directory tools yet in PowerShell. But if I want to change something about your account, change your manager or change the office you work in, change your title, then I do that with a commandlet set-adduser. So to set my title to manager, it would be set-adduser, space, my name. And by the way, under the hood, that invokes a parameter called -identity. That's just a shortcut. Mm-hmm. The full version would be set-adduser, -identity, space mark. And now what are we going to change? Well, they've got -title and -given-name and -surname. So we do -title and then manager. So the commandlet looks like get-adduser, -identity mark, -title, space manager. Make sense so far?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, PowerShell lets you take it a step further. So here, thus far, I've said, we're going to hold you to just having, we're going to give you get-adduser because that's the command that you'll need to actually find someone's real name and that sort of thing. We'll probably give you clear-host to clear a screen. stuff like that.
Yep.
And we'll give you a set dash A to user, because get never does any damage. But set, that changes things. We'll give you a set dash A to user.
Yes.
But there's a zillion different options, because there's so many things to change. Oh, no. Set dash A to user, you're going to get dash title, and you're going to get dash identity, and that's it.
Right.
Well, this is kind of cool. Now we're paring things down further. Can you see where this would go wrong, though? Well, the way it goes wrong is that my minimum wage, I don't give a crap, temp worker, is going to say, okay, if he says set dash A to user, Merck, it's going to fail because there's nobody named Merck.
Right.
But what if he says get dash A to user, space Mark or dash identity Mark, either one works, dash title, Manger. Because, I mean, how many times have you seen manager typed as Manger?
Right.
You know, major.
Many times.
Yeah, exactly. Well, PowerShell, the Jia toolkit will take it a step further. So forgive me for repeating myself, but again, we control what commandlets. Within the commandlets, we control which parameters you use.
Yes.
Now we're going to take it a step further, and the arguments that you pass to it can be constrained. They can be constrained in one of two ways. You can either say validate set. Validate set says, I'm only going to give you certain possible options. Or I could say validate pattern, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But validate set is, let's imagine in our very, very imaginary company that there's only three titles, manager, engineer, salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
What happens now, a couple of things is interesting. One is when the kid goes to type set dash A to user, Mark, he's got to get Mark right or it's not going to work, dash title. Well, if he types Manger, he gets red text.
Nice.
Oh, but wait. It's better than that. Because we've set it up with a limited, discrete number of options, all he's got to do is type set dash A to user, Mark, dash title, and tap the tab key, and it'll tab him through all the possible.
Oh, so you can give him a preloaded list of things.
Exactly. Nice. And you see, we're a GUI, wrapping a GUI around this with Power GUI would be 2 hours' work.
That's really compelling. Give me 1 sec to Absolutely. Pay the bills here, because Run As Radio is brought to you by ScriptRock, the makers of Guardrail and the fighters of Configuration Drift. Configuration Drift happens in every environment from 5 nodes to 5,000. Guardrail will find and scan the configs of every node in your environment, no matter the platform, and alert you to changes happening across machines. Give it a try for 3 months free with the coupon code RUNASRADIO, all one word, at ScriptRock.com/RUNASRADIO. Now I'm thinking about a suite of these configurations that are essentially granular administer privileges for given tasks. You know, it's your job to go clean up dead mailboxes in exchange. It's your job to, you know, to actually move people from department to department when the HR requirements come through, like all of those tasks. And you would have, so me as an admin, my normal account is just a domain account. But I use these things to temporarily elevate myself for a specific purpose, which is wildly auditable. Like, talk about a nice trail of how changes were made and who made them.
Oh, no, it's not just wildly auditable. It's unbelievably automatable. Anything you type, when you're in one of these constraint spaces,
mm-hmm.
everything you type goes to a log. Nice old text log. Oh, what's that? You were trying to do that? Huh, that's not okay.
Yeah, that wasn't what we, the instructions said on how to use this tool.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. These are all built, and the cool thing is, these are all built with a toolkit. It's free. You can download it, called the Jia toolkit. And basically what you do is you build a comma delimited file. And the comma delimited file says what modules are okay, what commandlets are okay, what parameters within that, Is it a value pattern or a value set? All that kinds of stuff. You build these endpoints. And oh, by the way, for those of you who are PowerShell users, even casual PowerShell users, if you've ever created a remote session, try saying get their session and list everything, select all, and you'll see that there are certain types of sessions. And there's 4 basic built-in ones. There's a 32-bit one, a 64-bit one, a couple of workflow ones. But if I go and create this Jia toolkit, and I create, as you said, guy who can clean out dead mailboxes.
Yep.
That's a 5th item.
Yeah.
And you can give it a name like that. You can then, by the way, to get in that door, to get into the transporter booth, to get yourself beamed over to the exchange server with that limited amount of capabilities, they put ACLs on that as well.
Nice.
Isn't this, I mean, it is utterly brilliant. I've been talking about this everywhere I can because it's so bloody exciting.
Well, it just, and I want my users to not be logged in as admins anymore until they have a particular thing to do. The challenge I got to think here is you're going to need to build a bunch of these. Like, this means thinking through all of these tasks.
My guess is that when SharePoint 2017 comes out, it will have 20 pre-built.
Sure. I'm just wondering about the PowerShell community itself jumping on this the same way they've built all these thousands of amazing scripts for, hey, you want to rename this? You want to change name of department across all everybody in AD? Like, there's some great scripts for all of that. To start building up the same sort of suite of, here's the security profile and privileges for being able to administer SharePoint without being able to delete anything.
It actually gets better than that, because this whole thing, it's a reasonable question now to say, well, wait a minute, Mark, how do I get that done on the server? How do I deliver this stuff?
Right.
It's built on top of desired state configuration.
Oh, man.
Which, for those of our people who haven't heard about this, think of desired state configuration. Start from the idea of group policies. Think about what group policies can do for Windows boxes. Now think about group policies that are largely focused, although don't have to be, on servers. Mm-hmm. I've just explained 15% of what it does.
Right.
I've done a great disservice to it. But it's the same kind of animal. But with group policies, when I want to do something like security, there has to be a chunk on your computer that handles that called a client-side extension.
Right.
There's a client-side extension for the registry. Group policies largely registry changes. Excuse me, Jeremy Moskowitz, that's
he's very good at making those changes, but that's really what it is.
Absolutely. In the desired state configuration world, you create a resource. And as a matter of fact, one of them is registry. There's another, files. You can deliver files to, you can create your own. They're just PowerShell scripts.
Nice.
And there's a desired state configuration, there's a desired state configuration resource toolkit where people are constantly creating this stuff. And as a matter of fact, Gia is one of those. It's an ex-Gia toolkit.
Nice.
And so what's neat about it is that you sit down and this is something that isn't retail. It's a wholesale way to solve the problem. Let's be clear. It's not done yet. Jeffrey did the original work. I've spoken with the guy at Microsoft who's doing the work now. He's a great guy. They're very, very open to ideas. And I think it's a important first step. And when I talk to him, I always say the same thing, which is give us an easy GUI. Because you and I can sit down and write a PowerShell script.
Yeah.
And many of the people listening can do that. But the junior admins, the ones that are working 20 hours a week and aren't really admins and we just want them to change titles, they're not listening. And they're not interested in learning command line tools. So, if there is a piece missing, you know, that extra 3 feet across the bridge over the chasm, then that's this
particular piece. That's the piece missing. But if I'm a I'm talking to senior administrators in enterprises right now, and this is what's terrifying them, right? I have a user who's an admin for me. And I'm telling you literally a word for word, I'll leave the names out. He's a file storage admin. That's his job. He allocates this and so forth. And so he has read-write privileges to all of those files, to everything. And he tripped a ransomware virus. And even though we'd locked down all the domain users, so they largely could not write on existing files, they could only make new ones and so forth,
man.
The one guy. And it ripped across the network in seconds. And it was too late. And the problem was he was not doing file administration at the time. That's just his account. So the fact that only when you're doing that work should you be elevated in privilege. And that privilege sort of stands by itself. It's a task you go into. You know you're being heavily scrutinized while you do it. Like, everything is tracked. I may be able to set what users are allowed to use it, but the privilege set is agnostic to user per se. It's just,
and
this is what grown-ups should be doing for administration.
Well, our excuse has always been that things are so, the sand shifts under our feet so quickly that we can't possibly take the time to stop innovating and instead standardizing. But we do have the time, but it isn't fun and it's a thankless job.
It is.
This is, ultimately, I think if we're talking about this in 5 years, as I just said, I think 95% of the building of the toolkits is going to be the next version of server has 15 of them in the Active Directory area and so on and so on and so on.
When we're going to get more now what we'll do is we'll get into a policy. Well, every time you're logged into a super user, a super admin account, and we're still going to have one, you've got to answer some big questions as to why. Because that means you're outside the normal spectrum of administration. Tell me there was a war going on. that you needed to use that account.
Well, you know, you could kind of do that because I could see wrapping a SharePoint workflow around this.
Yeah.
You know, where I need this, it's got to go through such and such. And if you think about it, it's then possible to build an in case of emergency break class. Because again, I said whitelist. What's the problem in the real world with whitelist, Richard?
So you're always missing something off the list, inevitably.
Exactly. And it's always something important.
Yes.
And so it's possible to build these things that have an in case of emergency break glass option.
Yeah.
Whereby at that point, you're a full-blown administrator, but everything you do, every move you make, every breath you take.
Yeah. Well, it's also, and you're going to be debriefed on it. You know, nobody wants to talk to you about cleaning out dead mailbox accounts, but you trip the super user. You know, it's like breaking the build on the dev side. Sometimes that happens and you clean it up, but you're going to have to talk about it. You know, I want you strongly incented to use the filtered tools and strongly disincented to use the master key.
Right. Let me go back and make sure that I clarify something, though. I was talking about how you could fine-tune it, and the example that I gave you was the validate set. That's where I said there's only five possible titles in our company. And that's cool. I love the idea that, because ask anybody who's looked at the HR data, you know, at a PeopleSoft or an Active Directory or something, it's almost useless. And the way to force these things to slot into particular slots is terrific. But it's going to be other times. Like, for example, what if I wanted to say that you can restart any service on a server as long as it's a SQL instance?
Right.
Well, what's that going to be? That's going to be a pattern because they all have something MS SQL, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I would think in terms of, everybody would think of like asterisks and stuff like that.
Right.
To handle but what you actually end up doing is you have to pass it a regular expression. Now, don't run away, everyone. Regular expressions are extremely powerful ways. They grew out of the Unix world to be able to express particular patterns. You know, what if I'm Richard putting together a great website for someone and we need an open field where you can punch in an email address and I'm worried about SQL injection attacks.
Right.
I need something that will take that and absolutely be sure that it is an email. And it's regular expressions that does that. And they kind of been hiding in the corners and they're back in the shadows. But honestly, if you are an admin and you're doing PowerShell-y stuff, or indeed you want to be one of the few people who still gets to be an admin in 5 years when most of them are gone because the cloud's doing all that work for us.
Yes.
Then regexes, that's the geeky way to say it, is really something to learn. There are a ton of websites out there about them. Those of us that got into programming, I can't speak for other people, but to me, one of the things I like about programming is not only am I creating something new, but it's a little like, I love puzzles, and it's a little like a crossword puzzle I get paid to solve.
Nice.
There's something about that with programming. Regexes are fun that way because they solve such a massive, they really are the all-purpose Swiss Army knife tool of pattern recognition when it comes to text patterns. Mm-hmm. They're ugly. You know, and their mother dresses them funny, you know, but it's not that hard once you've seen a few of them. So, the one thing is, if you're not listening to me because I said regexes, then come back. Because the answer to that is, people who love regular expressions love them so much that they all have websites. There are 5 million websites out there about regular expressions with examples, and there's a forum, and these people are so happy about regular expressions that you can send them emails, and they will build that pattern for you, and they will be excited about having done that because they've pushed back entropy. They have pushed back entropy in the heat death of the universe just a bit by creating a regular expression. When I was talking to Snover about it on camera, when we got to this part, I said, so one option is the discrete options, which is cool. But the other one is I want a pattern like star MS SQL Server star, but I can't do that because I have to use regular expressions. And he skipped about a half a beat. He looked at me with a straight face and said, no, you get to use regular expressions.
Because he's a believer.
Well, you know, he kind of came from that digital world.
He sure did.
You know, back in the days where everybody does a little bit of coding.
I kind of also think once this is all forces you, as you constrain the privilege, you'll also probably constrain a set of scripts. Like, hey, if you're doing maintenance on mailboxes, these are the 5 things you're going to do. So here are the scripts. Like, just, you don't write PowerShell from scratch anymore, right? You pull up the script and maybe you noodle it a bit. But that's about it. It's just the same things you're going to do consistently when you're doing that maintenance work.
It's another step in a phrase that we've been using for probably 20 years, role-based administration.
Yes.
You know, I mean, groups are kind of a role-based-y thing, but they're a little too broad spectrum. And honestly, Microsoft tools have never really been role-based-y. And this is, so almost nobody sits down and says, oh, there's a junior Exchange admin. And these are the five things that the junior Exchange admin gets to do. So I think this is an opportunity to do it. Anything that makes you step back and look at the things you're doing and look at them again almost always leads to better stuff.
Yep.
I don't know, you're a better programmer than I am, but I know that every time I finish a programming project, the first thing I say to myself is, I have to throw this away and start all over again because now I know how to do it. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, then I know what I'm doing. This is an embarrassment. I want to do it again.
That's an abomination upon the world. Yes, indeed. So anyway, how are we for time?
We're at 30 as usual, sir, but I don't think we're quite done.
Give me just a few minutes here.
Of course.
Because I want everyone to go play for this.
Mm-hmm.
So you need the Windows Management Framework 5 preview. As I say this to you in the end of June, it's in preview, but PowerShell-y stuff, you can trust the preview. I've never been burned by beta WMF stuff. And April 2015 is the latest, but when I spoke to someone a few weeks ago, the toolkit doesn't like that one. The February 2015 version might be better. It shows up as an MSU, Microsoft Update, and you just pop that thing in there. From there, you're going to go to the PowerShell gallery, and there's if you look in the documentation, it will show you that there's a thing called the XGIA resource. The idea is you're going to build a little bit of desired state configuration. It is not hard, and the GIA toolkit documentation, which keeps getting better, by the way, will show you how to set it up. I have a test system, which is one machine. It's a domain controller, and you will get a little bit of red text, and the reason you do that is, remember, it's trying to create local accounts, and in theory, domain controllers don't have local accounts. Ignore the red text. It's working. Okay.
Nice.
Also, when you go to build those CSV files, the ones that will describe parameters and so on and so on, you can certainly do that by hand, but some kind soul has written something called the GIA Toolkit Helper, and if you Google that or Bing that, then you will find that. And so the notion is you're going to put WMF5 on the servers that you're working with. You're going to do a bit of DSC. I'm working on a newsletter on that. I'll try to have it on my site pretty soon.
Sure.
And there's some sample texts. And you can have a whole lot of fun with it because they have some examples there. They constrain you to being able to kill processes, but only processes named Notepad or Calc. No, but it's a great way to get started.
Yeah, so for sure.
If you as admins, we're all busy, but if you have a few minutes, and if you like PowerShell at all, and if you like the idea of compartmenting and segmenting, and really, this may be the single best thing that you can do to secure your network.
I totally
biometrics
agree.
Are nice, and a good permission structure is nice, but as you just said, Richard, it's not regular people poking around servers that are causing problems. It's people who have some level of server power, which is almost always, they use only 3% of the power they have, and that's all they need.
Right.
And in the perfect world, that's exactly what you have, is that 3%. And this is a major step forward. So I'm sort of sound evangelical, but I really believe that this is if you're going to be a successful Windows administrator, I've said this on this program before and other places, PowerShell is about the number one thing, is that if you don't know PowerShell, you know, I always say learn -PowerShell so you don't have to leave -industry. But then beyond that, once you've got that, this GIA stuff is so worth looking at, and it's free. So give it a shot.
Absolutely. Mark, thanks so much for bringing us up to speed on this. This is really powerful stuff. I've been looking for it for a long time.
Thank you so much, my friend. Good talking to you, too.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.